the most popular book in the whole world, and also the best informative and instructive, is the very book we read, we study, we teach, we learn from. This book here is our source of survival. And without this book and the valuable information it reveals, it is impossible to survive. Reading it is one thing, but applying the things we read in our lives by what God reveals is the most important step for us to make by choosing to live God's way of life. But only God can reveal this knowledge to those who he has chosen to understand it. And that's why we read in Matthew 22:14 that God has chosen only a few in the whole world. But there is a distinction, however. In our Q&A on this very question, we say, being called into knowledge of the truth of God is not the only thing that must occur. We must then bear the fruit of righteousness in order to be among those who are the chosen. In this process, as we continue in our calling to follow Jesus Christ, we have this assurance as written by Paul, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Quoting from Philippians 1:6. And just this very verse, Matthew 22:14, just this very verse here is one example why this book is also the most misunderstood and controversial, where we have thousands of different religions believing something else different from one another, claiming what they each believe is the truth, all based off this one book. The Bible. And the Bible is filled with verses. Does anybody know how many verses there are in the Bible? Well, if you don't know this, it's over 31,000. About 31,102. I mean, just going by what I read by just searching for that. Didn't have the time to count them all. But anyway, that's what they're saying, around 31,000. And the New King James Version of the Bible has over 770,000 words. And yet, with all these verses in the Bible, there are select scriptures which many people quote and familiarize themselves with in different specific ways. According to BibleAnswer.org, the 10 most popular Bible verses are listed based on research gathered from multiple resources. Now, factors included in the creation of this list are how many times a verse has been searched for, in addition to which Bible verses are quoted the most. These verses and others were shared nearly 69 million times this year. In fact, every second sees two verses shared through Twitter, through Facebook, text messages, email around the world. I'm sure you've seen that yourself. You see a quote of a verse in the Bible. And I want to just read the 10 top verses that are being used the most. Now, I'm sure you can guess what the number one scripture that everybody knows, religious or not, is quoted the most in the Bible. Of course, you all know that to be John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, we see that verse everywhere we look. I mean, even on trucks, even on cups, even whatever it may be. You see that verse a lot. And I will be going into this where the confusion comes in, or what this verse actually really means. So another verse is Jeremiah 29:11, where it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Another one in the top 10 was Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is another scripture that we have heard many, many times and has been used in songs, has been used in stories, or whatever it may be. Another popular one was Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now, this is quite interesting that this one here is also in the top 10, and I will be going into this one in more detail as well. Going back to Psalm, another one is Psalm 23, verse 6, so two verses after verse 4 earlier, saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Proverbs 3, verse 5 is another one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Yeah, if people only knew what that one is talking about as well. Of course, we think about all these scriptures that I'm reading about here in the top 10, and we really have something in mind of what is behind it and what this really means. Philippians 4:13 was another one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Romans 12, verse 2, another one. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, another one that's probably not as common you would think, but was in the top 10, was 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, where we read, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Why that one is in the top 10, I don't know, but sure enough, according to the website, that one was in there. And the last one was Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, many of these verses, they kind of go together. You know, they have their own kind of themes of fearing or believing or whatever it may be. And I'll be going into that in more detail. But according to another site, to ChristianityToday.com, they also had their list. But this is going back to 2014. And the entire top 10 included many of the verses which are already listed. So it was something that kept on going every year. And a lot of them were in there. For example, Jeremiah 29:11 was the most popular verse in Canada. That is, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not evil, give me future and hope. So this one was popular in Canada, in the United Kingdom, and in Australia. Isaiah 41:10, which you just read about fearing, fear not, for I am with you, was the most popular verse in Mexico and Colombia. Now, we already mentioned Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But they also included in this list here Philippians 4, 6 to 8 as three separate verses, and I will turn to that and read that one. Philippians 4, verse 6 to 8. We read, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So that was one of the verses in the top 10. Also the very next verse, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds to Christ Jesus. And then verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We not only think about these things. Now, these are a lot of the words that we read about, which people quote from, or they post it, or whatever it may be. But what, in fact, are they really thinking about here? You know, it says to meditate on these things. There's more involved than just thinking about it. But we need to put these very things into practice by doing it, not just believing. And a lot of these verses in the top 10 is about believing what you're reading here. But how many are, in fact, doing it? Now, Philippians 4:6 was the only verse to stay in the top 5 from 2014 and so on. It just kept on repeating, which featured Philippians 4:13, where it says, I can do all things to Christ who strengthens me, as a number one verse. Out of the 10 countries with the most YouVersion usage, so let's say social media, Philippians 4:8 was the most popular verse in the United States, Brazil, and Nigeria in 2014. But the verses that users share the most are quite different from what they bookmark and highlight the most. Philippians 4:8 was the only verse to also make the top 10 list of verses also shared in 2014. Philippians 4:8 was not one of the verses in this year's top 10. They found a different one or didn't apply as much anymore. Well, also mentioned before was Proverbs 3 in verse 5, which said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not your own understanding. But it also had included verse 6, which says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, God has a purpose for us, which he already had since the very beginning, and also knows what is best for us, something that the world can't fully understand unless it has been revealed to them as well to understand. This isn't very easy, even for those of us who do understand. This is very challenging for us when we don't even know what the immediate future will bring in our own personal lives. We know what the future is going to bring, but we don't know exactly when that's going to happen. And when it comes to us personally, we don't really know what God has in store for us. And all we do is wait patiently for things to occur. We pray about the same things. We think about the same things. Always waiting to see what God has planned for us. Now, if we would have known, we would have probably done things differently, right? You think back, let's say, many, many years ago. It's like, if I would have known this, I would have done that. But would things really have changed? You know, sure, if I think back to going when I was in college, maybe I would have picked a different degree. I don't know. I mean, you could see how things work together and how what I have learned is applied to what I do now. Sure. But if it was that easy, I mean, how much easier could it have been if we had known? But this life that we live is not supposed to be easy. It's not supposed to be given to us in a silver platter. You know, there are things that God will allow to have happen. You know, we get the blessings we do get, and the rest we leave to him. Matthew 6, verse 33 and 34 were two separate verses which also made in the top of the list. Talking about years ago, where we read, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I find it interesting that this is not in the top 10 list this year. I mean, sure, it could be used a lot, but it isn't one of the most popular. And then you start to wonder why that is. I mean, look at what's going on in the world. And you really think there's no worry anymore? I mean, there's a lot of worry going on, but I don't think people would like to really quote that, that scripture in verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow. But this mystery right here in these two verses of what Christ is referring to is revealed in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. We read, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." Now, people reading this scripture in the world think they may understand what this is talking about, but really have no idea what it is talking about. Verse 12, "that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard," not just heard, but also believed, but not just believed, but also did, "the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is a guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." So how are we sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is our guarantee? Now I'll be going into that a little bit more. Again, a mystery to so many people who read this when it comes to baptism or even how they are baptized. There's a lot of confusion out there when it comes to that. Now, these are the top 10 listed verses that were listed, what I read earlier, through everything that we see, through social media or whatever it may be. But what about verses that we hear often and that we know by heart? John 3:16. I mean, everybody pretty much knows that one by heart. And from another website, from writtenreality.com, the author said this: "The Bible is full of wonderful verses. Every single word is significant and God breathed across the pages. As a Christian, I can't live without them. They encourage and they teach. They inspire and they lead. They ground me to keep me moving forward and remind me that God is who he says he is and that he keeps his promises. I can't imagine anything in life without God's word. And when asked about favorite scriptures or a life verse, it's difficult to choose one above all the others. However, there are a few significant verses that I've found to keep me focused on the main thing, which is God's reality. So I've chosen to point out just a few of them to remind us of the truth of who God is, what Jesus came to accomplish, and how his truth continues to transform our lives today." Can't disagree with that. Well said. Maybe we do the same thing. Maybe there's certain scriptures that we have in mind which we like as our favorite, how it affects us personally, which typically is the reason for it, behind it. So this author had listed some verses that they know by heart, which affects their life. Of course, the one that I already mentioned before, which everyone knows by heart, is John 3:16. But the key word in this scripture is the word believe. And this right there, that one word, is so confusing in the world. The author here says that this verse is the who, what, why, and how of the Bible. It's the whole purpose of God's word wrapped in a few words. Every Christian should have these words stitched within their memory as a reminder that he loves us and as an opportunity to share his love with everyone else. Sure, but there is a lot more behind that scripture, how we are supposed to apply that in the world, which I will go into. Before that, there's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 is a scripture that thought it would be one to have memorized. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Interesting that this author chose that one to have memorized. Right there, it's the whole point. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, proving that the Bible is true, proving that everything that we read is the truth. If you don't believe this passage, then why waste your time with any other verse? As Christians, we must believe every word of God's word as his word. If not, the whole thing falls apart. Christians just can't pick and choose the parts they want to believe or even the parts they want to follow and then toss the rest away. All scripture is God-inspired. His word is complete truth and will remain forever, as we heard in the message earlier by Mr. Mitchell. Put it to the test. This is the truth. The Bible is the truth. See how it affects and how you live your life by doing what it says in there. Now, the next four verses that this author chose had to do, it was in the book of Romans, saying that they are vital because they map out the plan of salvation. Salvation is also very confusing in the world. Christians use these verses first for their own steps towards salvation and then as a tool to help lead others to Christ. Each verse provides a specific step in the salvation plan. Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay, this is a great reminder that we all fall short, that we all need Christ, that we all start at the same place in need of him. That's true. Also point out Romans 6, verse 23, asks the question, why do we even need salvation? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But how do we receive the gift of eternal life? That is an important question. Let's see, let's notice Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. See, that's another thing too. Picking and choosing certain scriptures to point out, but then not reading the context behind it or reading more which have to do with it, since it just did Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is the gift of God? How do we receive eternal life? So if we look at Romans chapter 6, verse 1, starting there, question is, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin, or better yet, put sin behind us, live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Meaning, we will be like Christ. Knowing this, again, verse 6, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, verse 8, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he gives, he lives to God. Verse 11, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. You're not under its penalty, but you're under grace through the benefits, having obtained forgiveness. In chapter 8, in verse 6 through 9, it elaborates a little bit further. Romans 8, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It's a huge difference between being carnally minded and spiritually minded. Because a carnal mind is enmity or hatred against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, which means right here, proof that has not been done away with, nor indeed can be. So then, verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So then how do we obtain eternal life? Right here, if we cannot be in the flesh, cannot be of carnal nature to please God. So there has to be something that we need to do. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. How? How does the Spirit of God dwell in us? What do we have to do in order for that to happen? If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. We need to be baptized to receive the Holy Spirit, and that is how we become a true Christian. Without that, we cannot obtain eternal life. And that is a big mystery to many in the world. Author doesn't go into that in detail, just puts out this verse and doesn't really have any answer. Just the question, why do we need salvation? Now, the other scripture adding to this was Romans 5:8. Where the author asks the question, what did God provide us, or what did God provide as our only source of salvation? In Romans 5:8 say, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The author says here that he always loved this verse, and I think it's a great one for us to memorize so that we can pull from it daily to remind ourselves of his love. As we remember his great love for us, we then can go out in the world and share love with everyone else. What a privilege to be loved so powerfully and perfectly by our Creator. But also notice verse 5, a little bit earlier. Romans 5, verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. When was that given to us? At our baptism. So how can someone understand these scriptures when they're not even baptized, or when the Holy Spirit isn't actually dwelling in them as they think? And this is why the proper baptism is necessary for survival. How are we saved? Romans 10, verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The author points out that these four scriptures here in Romans are the basic steps, are a great starting point when leading the lost who are searching for hope. But again, the question is, what is meant by believing? There is much more involved than just believing, because if you truly love Christ and you want him to love you, then we have to do what he says, that we truly love him. How? By keeping his commandments, all of them. Remember, all scripture is inspired by God. Everything we read about in here, the whole Ten Commandments are still in place. Philippians First John chapter 1, verse 9 was another scripture that was considered to be one of those to memorize, where we read, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we realize the gift, or the wonderful gift of God's plan to save us, we realize just how unworthy we are to receive it. This verse helps us to fight off worries and doubts, any thoughts about our past, to fully embrace and celebrate God's promise to save us. Taking hold of the scripture reminds us that even though we are unworthy, God keeps his word and forgives us when we confess our sins to him. John 14, verse 6 is another one. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Author says here that just as the enemy tries to keep us bound to our past, he will also try to convince us to follow anything and everything else to keep us from following Jesus. With so many theologists, false teachings, etc., it is important for us to remember this verse. John 14, verse 6 is a verse we hold up to any other teachings. Jesus Christ is a focal point, is a center. We base everything on his word, his teachings, and his sacrifice. And the last one would be in Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. This verse reminds us to keep ourselves focused on his word, to keep us from anything that hinders or hurts or keep us from a victorious life God has planned. Though there are countless scriptures to recommend, these were the 10 Bible verses the writer felt every Christian should know by heart and a great place to start when memorizing. And there are many out there who memorize scriptures, but do they really apply what these verses mean? And there is a big difference. Going back to Matthew 22:14, as we started off, for many are called, but few are chosen. This is further elaborated in Romans 8:28. Verse 30, remember, Romans 8:28 was one of the verses in the top 10. But I want to further elaborate on that, because Romans 8:28, we read, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. If we keep reading, we see in verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Remember, we are to become the image of Christ, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In verse 30, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. This promise was taught by Jesus to his apostles, where he said what he said in John chapter 15 and verse 16. John chapter 15 and verse 16, Christ said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. And then verse 19. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. The majority of the people in this world are in this world. Are they doing everything that Christ is saying here? Are they following? Are they keeping all the commandments? Not everyone obeyed Christ's teaching at that time. Here he was in the flesh, and he was teaching these things to his apostles, his disciples, to everyone, all his followers, right, at that time. But not everybody obeyed. Our Q&A on this very topic, again, which I was referring to earlier, Judas failed in his calling as an apostle, and he was then replaced by Matthias to become among those specially chosen to rule over the 12 tribes of Israel once Jesus Christ returns to establish the kingdom of God on this earth. Of course, you can compare Matthew 19, 28 and Revelation 21, 14. Again, Judas, who failed in his calling, was replaced. Now, this happens in the church, too. Those who fail to continue to live God's way of life, those who have been baptized maybe several years after being baptized, or even in the first few years they have been baptized, and then they leave. But what happens? There's always somebody new that God is working with, that God is calling. There's a lot more, again, that is involved there. Paul fulfilled his calling, and he knew he was chosen to receive eternal life in God's kingdom. He said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Finally, after all this, after his whole life that he had to go through all this, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. Paul knew what he had to go through. Paul knew the sufferings that he dealt with, what he had to sacrifice to get to that point. You know, while many heard Jesus preach and saw his works, most of them were the ones who fulfilled his parable found in Matthew 22, the parable of the wedding feast, the invited guests who were being called but weren't offered eternal salvation since they refused to actually fully participate in God's calling. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many had their foot in the door, but to get the other foot in was a challenge. They couldn't do it. The opportunity that God is now presenting is a calling to be among the first fruits of salvation, called a better resurrection in Hebrews 11:35. But to close, John chapter 5, verse 24, he says this, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." We heard about all these scriptures, these top 10 lists of the scriptures that are being shared throughout the world, that are being referred to, scriptures that are good to memorize. You know, it is one thing to know particular scriptures and even memorizing them, but to actually understand them and applying them in our lives is the key. We have a responsibility to answer the calling and to fulfill what God has intended for us. From the very beginning, he predestined us from the very beginning before we even knew. He had a plan for us. The reason why he has chosen us out of this world to live a better way of life. Something which is non-physical. Something that is everlasting. But this involves more than just believing what we read in the Bible, but also by doing it. Just as God chose us, we need to choose him and continue to live righteously and not take for granted the gift that God has already given us and also has in store for us.